and we're starting at chapter 11 in Hebrews, reading the first 22 verses. Verse 1 in chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. Let's bow our heads together and pray. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of whom we must give account. Father, we come before you tonight with the various things that are going on in our minds and the various situations that we've left behind at home. And we ask that you quieten our minds. We ask that you would speak clearly to us through your word. We ask that you would discern our thoughts and help us to discern them. And by your spirit, would you change us? Father, would you make us more like Jesus? Would you make us less like the sinners we are? and more like your Son. For your great glory we ask, and for our good and our joy. Amen. Now, this evening we are thinking about confidence. I don't know what makes you confident. This week we went to the jump house, the trampoline park with our kids. And there are all sorts of things that give you confidence. There's lots of padding everywhere. And before you can go in, they make you go through some sort of safety talk, let's say. And there's a little video for you to watch, all sorts of ways to keep you safe, and lots of things for you to think you can be confident about going into this place without killing yourself. And we started jumping around, and we played some basketball. We did some of the games that are there. And then one of the kids said, "Let's go on the slides." Thought, great, we've seen the instructions about those. You have this mat to go on, you go down on your front, you keep your arms on the mat, and you have your hands down, because if you go too fast and if you let your arms go off, you'll get friction burns. They didn't say anything about your knees. And I can say that it really hurts. when you don't, or when you act with a degree of confidence that you shouldn't have. So I've been limping ever since Wednesday or Thursday, I think it was. Sometimes the things that we put our confidence in, the things we put our faith in, might just end up with a minor injury. Sometimes it really, really matters. Christian faith is not just, are your knees going to be okay, but what about your eternity? What is it that gives you confidence? What is it that enables you to face not just today, but maybe the hardest and darkest day of your life and come out the other side, not broken by it, but trusting in your Saviour? The Christian faith is a confident faith. And yet so often we know that that's not our experience, is it? Maybe you know someone or some people who you thought were really confident and pressing on as Christians, but now, a few years down the line, maybe are nowhere with the Lord. This book is written to people who had a great treasure, who should have been really confident in it, but were tempted time and time again to throw it away, to shrink back and be destroyed, to walk away from Jesus. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you'll know that pressure. Should I keep going? Is it really worth it? For them then, there were two particular threats. They bookend chapter 11. Chapter 10, verse 32, there is suffering. Sometimes that's just a bit of mocking from friends after work. Sometimes that is a public beating. They have been mocked. They have known people who are mocked. They have been afflicted. And it makes us ask that question, is it really worth it? There's suffering on the one hand, and then flick over to chapter 12, verse 1. There is our sin. Sin that clings so closely, sin that seems so enticing, sin that would tempt us to walk away from Jesus. And this book, this sermon, this word of exhortation, it calls itself, it was written to these Christians, to these people, to endure, to keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. And because God's promise of rest still stands, that's what chapters 1 to 4 are all about. And because chapters 5 to 10, Jesus is the better priest who makes a better sacrifice, who gets them into that rest. Because they need to endure. Because those pressures were real. And God's promises are so precious. Have a look at chapter 10, verse 39, page 1211. we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. It's quite a thing, isn't it, to have that sort of confidence. That is something that you and I need if we are going to keep on trusting Jesus to the very end. How can you be so confident of that? Well, verses 1 to 3 of chapter 11, it is because faith rests in the word of God. I don't know what you think of when you hear that word faith. There are so many different definitions of it that fly around. You hear people of faith. We've been watching the American TV show The Bear, about a restaurant, a family that own a restaurant in Chicago. It's full of foul language, but it's quite a good show. It understands people very well. For them, faith in one another is the answer to their problems. So they keep saying to each other, trust your teammates, trust the process, have faith. The problem is, the head chef, as this guy Carmi says, everyone who works here has a personality disorder. They are not the sort of people that you want to trust. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, argued that faith begins where reason ends. So you think of Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. He has to go across a chasm. There is no way of, no seeming way to get across it other than a leap of faith. He has to put one foot in front of the other, a blind leap of faith. The Bible's understanding of faith is very different. Read with me from Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is confidence, it is assurance, it is certainty. It's not a subjective thing. It's not like tea is better than coffee or strawberry jam better than raspberry jam, although I'm pretty confident about those things. This is concrete. It's a foundation. It is so strong that the word can also be translated as a substance or nature. So you might have something like, faith is the reality of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This summer has been a big one for sport. Today, the match that everyone has been waiting for since Wednesday evening is taking place. There's been weeks of competition. There's been giants of the game that have been knocked out. Portugal and France, Norway, Germany, Croatia, all dropped tonight. There are just two teams left in it, battling out for the under-20 European Handball Championships. Sweden v Hungary, I don't know who your money is on. Imagine you had a time machine and you went forwards to, 8 o'clock tonight or something. And you can see Sweden or Hungary lift the cup and then travel back here to this time. You would have that assurance, that conviction that this is talking about. It is knowing the outcome is secure. Why? Well, verse 2, because it's by faith that the people of old received their commendation. How do the Old Testament people of God draw near to God? Well, it's through faith. How do you and I draw near to God? How are we justified by God? It is through faith, the same faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection. Faith is a certain hope. The Christian faith is a certain hope because God justifies through faith. And it rests in the word of God. Verse 3, it is believing the word of God. God speaks first. Do you see that? By faith we understand the universe was created by the word of God. so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. It's not like the chicken or the egg question, which one came first? God's word comes first. The eternal God spoke, and this wonderful but fleeting and sometimes a bit wet creation came to be. Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their hosts. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Faith is taking God at his word, which is more certain than the things that you and I can see. We are used to believing in things that we can't see. We believe in gravity. We know gravity exists. That is why we're all sat nicely on the floor tonight and not floating around. Take time. You can mark it. We can measure it. You can watch the hours go by on the clock at work. You can experience the passing of years, but we can't see it. We might not see it fully, but God makes a promise and faith grasps hold of it. And faith is assurance because, unlike gravity or time, God's promise never varies or changes depending on where you are in the universe. It doesn't rest on the strength of my faith, whether I have enough of it. It doesn't rest in the quality of my faith, whether my faith is good enough or strong enough. Faith rests in the word and the promise of God. Restored relationship with God isn't something that we can earn. It's not something that we could have convinced him to give it to us if we had asked or thought about it. It is something that he gives freely to those who take him at his word. And you see, this is the end of striving, of trying to please God, because God's commendation comes to us by faith. Faith rests in the promise of God. That's the headline, if you will, for what follows. That is the headline, and then the rest is a bit like a trophy cabinet. It's sometimes called the heroes of faith in chapter 11, but that's the wrong way around. The people aren't the heroes. The object of their faith is. So the God who speaks, the God who saves. What does their faith actually look like? Well, verses 4 to 7, it draws near to God. We see this sort of faith isn't a new thing. It was always there through the Old Testament. It is what predates the flood. All the way back to the beginning, we see that people are saved by faith, trusting in God's word. God's plan before the foundation of the world was to save a people for himself through Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. Cain and Abel, the two children of Adam and Eve, two brothers, two sacrifices, only one of them was accepted, Abel's. Why? Well, 11 verse 4, Abel acted in faith, and so God commended him as righteous. Genesis points us to this, and the clue is in the names, I think. Abel's name is that word from Ecclesiastes. It's hevel, breath, or vanity. Cain is named after what Eve says once he has been born. She says, I have done it. And the name Cain sounds a lot like the Hebrew for I have done it. It's my achievement. It is what I do. And so after Cain's offering is rejected, God asks him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? So if you do good things, if you achieve goodness, will you not be accepted? And we know how the rest of the story goes on. He doesn't do good. he goes on and he murders his brother. Yet it is Abel who still speaks by his faith, which draws near to God. The next example, verse 5, is Enoch. Enoch is mentioned in a list of people in Genesis 5. It's a poignant list because after each person is named, has this repeated refrain, and he died. Except not with Enoch. Genesis 5, verse 24, there's no need to turn to it, but it says, let me find it, 5, verse 24 says this, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. He drew near to God, just as Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden, just as you and I were made to walk with God. Enoch sought a relationship with God. His life was marked by faith that drew near to God, drawing near to the God who knows him. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Enoch doesn't die. He is taken by God because he had been commended by God, because he had been declared righteous by God, because he had put his trust in the promise of God. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, faith begins by recognizing that God is there. He's not an idea. He's not a figment of human imagination or creativity. He is the living God. And we believe that he rewards those who seek him, not because we deserve his favor, but because he delights to reward and receive those who come to him trusting his promise. Now, he's not saying that only perfect people can draw near to God. He's saying that people who trust God can. And that we begin our service most weeks with a time of confessing our sins. We know what it is like to come before God conscious of our sin, in need of a Savior. Yet because of Christ, we are welcomed. Faith doesn't earn acceptance, but it receives it. One of the great themes of Hebrews is that Jesus has opened a new and living way into God's presence. So when we draw near to God, we don't come because we have performed well. We come because Christ has done it, because of God's promise to save a people for himself. Faith takes God at his word. And the author immediately goes on and gives us another example. Verse 7, we have Noah, another guy from many, 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 many years ago. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now put yourselves in Noah's shoes for a moment. God tells you that judgment is coming. God tells you a flood will destroy the earth. God says to you, go and make an ark. And you say, how on earth do I do that? Well, you're going to need some gopher wood. You're going to need a hammer and a saw and probably some nails. No one had ever seen anything like it. There was no evidence to point someone to of a flood like this. There was no gathering storm clouds. There was no rising rivers. It was just God's word that came to Noah. What would you do? I imagine you'd say, you're joking, right? You want me to go and build a massive, massive boat? People are going to laugh at me. They're going to call me Crazy Noah. Noah didn't just nod in agreement and say, I believe. I trust you, God. We'll think about this. If you're with us next Sunday morning, we'll think about this a bit more. But Noah's faith was seen in what he does. Verse 7, he acts in reverent fear. His friends are all going about their normal lives. They are eating and they are drinking, they are partying and they are working, they are studying. Noah is there building an ark, and you can imagine what they said. Put your hammer down, Noah. Come watch the handball final. Or don't worry about that bit of wood. Come and check out your investment portfolio. Noah kept on sawing and hammering because he believed a future that no one else could see. He took God at his word. And then one day it began to rain, even. And what was invisible became visible. The ark was lifted above the flood. Noah was no fool, because he had believed God's word. And so he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. That is in a similar position to where we are as Christians. We believe realities the world cannot see. Christ has promised that he will return. He has promised that he will judge the earth. He has promised a new creation and promised eternal life for all those who trust him. Your faith in Jesus may not always match up with what you see, but one day it will. And I guess we need to ask ourselves, what is more pressing? Is it getting ready for that big presentation or that exam? Or getting ready for the day that Jesus returns? Whose approval matters more? Your friends, your family? Hearing your colleagues say, I'm so glad you're not like one of those Christians. Extreme, fundamental. Or is it hearing the Lord Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Faith draws near to God, takes God at his word, knows his word is true. Doesn't lose heart, doesn't draw back, it perseveres, has confidence, because faith leads to hope and hope does not disappoint us. Now, that's what we see with Abraham, verses 8 to 16. That's the point of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob. His final section, faith waits. Faith waits for the city of God. So we move from Noah, we move generations to Abraham. God makes amazing promises to Abraham in Genesis 12. He promises a people as many as the stars in heaven, as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. He promises people, he promises a place, a land to live in. And he promises a blessing to enjoy. And Abraham believes God. He takes God at his words. So one day he walks out of his family home. He shuts the door behind him. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. It is not a love of camping that drives Abraham on, as wonderful and fun as it could be. Verse 10, he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. See, Abraham understood something remarkable. The land of Canaan was never the final destination. It was a promise that pointed beyond itself. His ultimate hope wasn't an earthly city. It was God's city. Verse 16. A better country a heavenly one. I wonder where you long to be this summer. Maybe it's back in the library with the final exam coming up. Maybe it's on a beach in the sun. Maybe you are longing for a home that you've left behind. Abraham reminds us that we are always looking further ahead. We are longing, as Christians, for the place where God is, our true home. Acknowledging that here we are strangers and exiles, that we don't belong here, we have a better country, a heavenly one. Verses 13 to 16 are so striking. These men and women all die in faith. They don't receive what was promised, at least not fully. Abraham, sure, he saw his children. He saw Isaac and Ishmael. He saw Jacob and Esau, his grandchildren. He didn't see his great-grandchildren. He didn't live that long. He certainly didn't see a people as many as the stars of heaven or as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. He never glimpsed the temple when that was built in Jerusalem, and he certainly never saw the Lord Jesus in his glory. And yet he believed. Verse 13, they saw the promises from afar. They greeted them from afar. Imagine you're driving past a really good friend and you suddenly see them and it brings a smile to your heart. You lift your hand to say hi, but you're driving along or maybe someone else is driving you and you don't get to stop. You greet them, you see them from afar. Long to be with them, maybe. Have a chat with them. That's a bit like the way in which Abraham viewed God's promises. He could see them from a distance. He welcomed them. He longed for them. He lived in the light of them, but their fulfillment still lay ahead. One Christian writer, F.F. Bruce, says of this verse, "Their faith simply consisted in taking God at his word and directing their lives accordingly." Faith waits. It's where we find ourselves, far more than Abraham ever had, you and I have, and not just proper homes to live in. We have God's promise spoken not just by a messenger, not just by a prophet, but by his Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. We know that Jesus has come. We know that he has died. We know that he has risen again. We know that he will return. And yet we are still waiting. Faith rests in the word of God. Faith draws near to God. Faith waits. Three questions to ponder as we draw to a close. What are you resting in? Where is your confidence? Is it in the things that you are doing? Is it maybe the family you come from? Is it in how well you have performed or how godly or ungodly you've been this week? Or does it rest in what God says? Who are you drawing near to? Friendship with the world? This fleeting, passing world? Stuff that you see? Or friendship with the God of eternity. Last question. If someone looked at your life, would they know that you are waiting? Would they know that you have a better home? where they know that you have a better future, a better city that you long for? Or are your roots and your hopes and your dreams too firmly planted here in this life and in this world? Because we have the infinite joys of the world to come. We have an inheritance, an eternal one. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we have something infinitely more sure and steady, the irrefutable, unretractable, eternal promise of God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I'm going to close with words from an old hymn that speaks of the wonderful certainty that is ours through faith in Jesus. My name from the palms of your hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on your heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end will endure until I bow down at your throne. Forever and always secure, a debtor to mercy alone. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd help us to not be those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Father, would you help us to take you at your word? Would you help us to seek you, hunger for you, draw near to you? And so would you help us to wait patiently for you? In Jesus' name, amen.